steep, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome to the Grow Room Golf Show and Podcast, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., also known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, let's start by wishing all of our Grow Room listeners a very happy July 4th, the celebration of the founding of our nation, and a special shout-out to those who have served and who are serving in the military. The Grow Room salutes you.
You know, Bob, I think about this great country of ours that we all appreciate, and we love being on the Armed Forces Radio Network. 241 years ago, hard to believe. And, you know, it's an interesting time in our country now. There's no doubt about it. And we're still in our infancy when you look at us compared to other countries and where you and Janice are going to be heading in a couple of weeks. But I think we still do a pretty darn good job.
All right. And we can only get better. And that's the thing that I really like. Speaking of getting better, maybe they can't get better. It's certainly a big time for Vertical Groove Golf. Can you believe Kenny Perry won the United States Senior Open Championship using a Vertical Groove driver, not getting a penny to put it in play? Jay, that's incredible.
It is incredible, but I can believe it. I can believe because I've seen for myself what the vertical groove driver can do. I've talked to you, Bob, about how it has lowered my ball flight. Even though I don't play as much as I used to, I notice 5 or 10 yards difference and more fairways. And Kenny Perry was unbelievable. First bogey-free final round of a U.S. Senior Open since Bernhard Langer did it in 2010. And a big part of that was because he was hitting fairways and he was hitting it long with the VGD, the vertical groove driver.
Yeah, Jay, and it was evident that he was clearly knocking it 10, 20, 30 yards sometimes, you know, beyond Kurt Triplett, which was basically a match play situation in that fourth and final round. And what an edge when you know you can hit your driver further than your opponent and you know you're going to hit it straighter. I mean, case in point, the 17th and 18th holes, he had, you know, a couple of shot lead, no need to hit the driver unless you're fully confident you're going to find the fairway with it, and that's exactly what he did.
You said the word, confident, and that's the biggest thing. You've covered this game a long time, and for our listeners out there that don't get it, these guys only make mistakes when their comfort level is not at where it normally is, and that's why having a weapon like the vertical groove driver in his bag gives him that confidence when he steps up on the tee, and now instead of thinking he might hit a bad shot, he's stunned if he does because he's hitting it so good.
No, absolutely, and he's going to be paid pretty good. You know, the average purse on the Champions Tour, probably in the 270, 280 range. Well, by winning that Senior Open, Jay, he takes home $720,000.
That's some big money, and we saw Kenny Perry really start to play well toward the end of his PGA Tour career. You know, he's got 20 wins since he turned 40 combined on the regular and the Champions Tour, and he's a super guy, Bob. I mean, he is, I call him the pride of Franklin, Kentucky, and he's just a good old boy with a manufactured swing, and it works.
Well, the amazing thing about Kenny Perry, the next person that I meet that has something unkind to say about Kenny Perry will be the first person I meet that ever says that. I mean, he's a gentleman in the truest sense of the word. I mean, when you think of the sport of golf, you like, and we certainly like on the Grill Room to think that, you know, it's a gentleman's game. Well, Kenny Perry, certainly a gentleman in every right. And the amazing thing about the vertical groove drivers, they only launched this driver 6 months ago. And they've already had fantastic results. As you know, Jay, John Daly, one of the Vertical Groove Golf's ambassadors, has a victory on the Champions Tour. And Kenny Perry, now they're ranked 1 and 2 in driving distance on the PGA Tour Champions. I mean, that is amazing. VGD, 2 wins under its belt in the first 6 months it's been launched. Incredible.
Well, and I want to say it again. They are number 1 and 2 in terms of driving distance on the PGA Tour Champions. Kenny Perry, the 2000 U.S. Senior Open, we talked about it earlier, just feeling that confidence with the driver. In fact, Bob, let's hear what Kenny said in his press conference after his monumental win.
Vertical groove driver was amazing. I've been using it for about 3 months now. I told the guys it's a great product, and I'm happy to represent those guys and play the product. I hit it straight. It slows my hook down for whatever reason. You know, my misses usually with the other clubs are in the left rough. This one, if I pull a little bit, it'll hang in there and hang on for me and stay in the fairway. So I can't thank those guys enough. It's a great, great product. To put my name to be the lowest of all time, that's amazing. I've had a lot of great. When I won back in 13, I shot 63, 64 on the weekend to win there. So I've done some. When I've got it going, I've done some great stuff in this championship, and I'm just excited. Well, I'm honored. I'm touched to be on here with Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer. I mean, the best that ever played the game. I mean, just to even have my name touched there is just a little bit, even though I'm not near their category. It's pretty special.
Okay, Jay. So to back up what you said about Kenny Perry being a gentleman, he's telling other guys on tour that this driver is working for them. And can you imagine standing on a tee knowing that, hey, my driver's going to help keep my ball in the fairway? I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff.
He said thank you. He thanked them. I mean, that's how much he believes in this club. As you said earlier, there's no paycheck coming for Kenny last week for him to carry the driver. And I mean, you rarely hear a professional golfer thank a manufacturer for connecting with him. I remember when you and Janice got out of the PGA merchandise show and said, there's this club, Vertical Groove Driver, and now it's gonna be a household name.
I agree. And how about this, Jay? And this is what I really got a kick out of watching the telecast by Fox Sports. A couple of things that I made a note that was said. Kenny Perry off the tee, they'd say another bullet down the middle. He'd hit another drive on another hole. Impressive to watch off the tee all week long. Another drive. That's so far down there. And the other thing that I noticed, and you being the stick that you were, Jay, one thing that tells me beyond any question of a doubt about somebody's confidence in a club when they take very little time to play, Kenny Perry steps on the tee now, puts the peg in the ground, and he lets it rip. He's not fretting and frowning on that tee about having to hit this tee shot. He is fully confident long before he pulls the club back.
Fear is a terrible thing, especially on the tee. And when you don't have it, you got a spring in your step. You're ready to get to the tee. You're ready to put that sucker down the middle and hit it as good as you can. And that's what Kenny Perry did. And that's what he keeps telling everybody about.
It's pretty amazing. And Salem Country Club, where they contested the Senior Open, very difficult if you had to play out of the rough. Kenny Perry had that edge of not being in the rough and being long way down that fairway.
Now we know the Vertical Groove Driver is a winner. But why is it different? Well, number one, it's approved by the USGA. That's huge. I had somebody ask me last week at Normandy after I hit my ball, now, is that thing USGA approved? I said, absolutely, my friend. It is USGA approved, and the vertical grooves on the face of the club produce a tighter dispersion, less spin, more of a boring shot, and greater distance. Less spin, more distance. That's only a good thing. And you heard what Kenny Perry had to say about it. It's Vertical Groove Golf, and it is the new face of golf. Go to vertgolf.com to customize your new driver like I did for my driver and feel the difference. Order yours today. vertgolf.com. Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and the driver of choice by the 2017 U.S. Senior Open champion Kenny Perry.
Okay, Jay, time to move to the PGA Tour and the Quicken Loans National at TPC Potomac at Avondale in Bethesda, Maryland, a new venue for the Quicken Loans National. Kyle Stanley, -7, wins in a playoff with Charles Howell III. And what's amazing, Jay, Charles Howell III sustained a rib injury. He's been out of action for 9 weeks. He comes back into this event, had no idea how he was going to be able to perform as far as the, you know, amount of rust. 9 weeks, certainly a long time. Gets into a playoff, and Stanley nips him in the first hole of the playoff. But good performance by Charles Howell III gets him in the Open Championship, by the way. Let's give a listen to what Kyle Stanley had to say.
Yeah, it feels really good. Great golf course. It definitely took some of my best golf today. Credit to Charles. He played great. We kind of fed off of each other, being in the same group. Just very special to get a second win. The position I was in today was, in my mind, probably a little bit easier than the guys that were in the last group. Or last couple groups, just being to where I could kind of fly under the radar for a little bit and kind of put together a good round. And I think that's just a testament to this golf course. It's very difficult, so you know that if you're a few shots back, you can make that up with a pretty good round. So I didn't really have a number of what I thought I needed to go today to win, but. You know, once I made a few birdies on the front nine and the leaders weren't really doing much, it kind of occurred to me that if I just kept plotting my way around, that we might have a chance.
Well, that represents the second tour win for Kyle Stanley. Jay, as you know, 179 starts, and at 29 years old, two-time tour winner. Last time came at the 2012 Waste Management Phoenix Open, and that was after he coughed up a three-stroke lead on the 72nd hole at San Diego. So he has some mental fortitude, to say the least, and a good winner, you know. I got to be candid. We've been friends with Charles Howell for a long time, kind of pulling for him. I remember the story how his dad told me that, you know, he grew up in Augusta, Georgia, and his dad, a renowned plastic surgeon, and he noticed some talent in his young son, Charles. So he made a call, Jay, down to David Ledbetter and his academy, and simply said, I have a son that I think is pretty good in golf, and I'd like to set up an appointment so that David Ledbetter could take a look at him. And the gentleman on the other end said, sorry, that's not how it works here. You can make an appointment to bring your son down, and we'll have somebody take a look and evaluate him for you. So they agreed. They go down there, and ironically enough, they told Charles to loosen up a little bit, and an instructor would be coming by to analyze his swing. So the instructor comes by. Charles takes about four swings. You know what the instructor says? He says, wait a minute, guys. I'm going to go get David Ledbetter. And just an indication of how talented Charles Howell really is as a golfer.
And he had really a dominant career as a junior and an amateur, and has not been necessarily able to translate the success he had at those two levels into the PGA Tour. But like you said, with this recent injury, to come back after that length of time off and play well and be in the hunt, and just have kind of the mishap in the playoff. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to Kyle Stanley. Very emotional after the win. 5 years, you know, you win when you're young, and you figure, okay, this is going to be the norm. And I think it really hit him getting his second PGA Tour victory, the Clemson Tiger. Good stuff. Ricky Fowler and Martin Laird shot up the leaderboard. They got into a tie for third. My guy, I picked Sung Kang going into the final round, and he looked like he might win the golf tournament, and then he slipped up. It was a weird final nine holes.
Yeah, what makes the victory even stranger as far as I'm concerned. Certainly a lot of grumblings. That may be the end of Quicken Loans as an event because, you know, the tour is behind this concerted effort to shorten the schedule so that it ends, you know, prior to football season. There's going to be the move of, you know, the Players' Championship and the PGA Championship. Coming to May. So a lot of new things on the horizon in the world of professional golf. But I think you'd be hard-pressed, Jay, and I want your opinion on this. I think you would be hard-pressed to find anybody that would say, you know, the schedule's got to be longer. I think it's better for golf if it's condensed a little bit, a little more definitive on the season, have a beginning, have an end, and the time off whet the appetite of the average golf fan.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think we got, you know, just overdone with tournaments. I mean, we were going January to the end of November. And the silly season had even come to an end, and it was just too much. And you and I are trying to get used to this start in November now with the season starting early. But, you know, I think you're right. The make it quality rather than quantity.
You know, Jay, when I look at yesterday or this past weekend, depending on when you're listening to the Grill Room Show, three professional golf events, the Senior Open, the Quicken Loans, and the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, all being played at the same time. Now, how can a lover of golf watch all three of those at once? Simply cannot be done. I would think a little cooperation amongst the schedule makers might have made it a much better afternoon for golf viewing, especially in light of the fact that we had, you know, the Monday before Tuesday's 4th of July as probably an ideal date to show the final round of any one of those three tournaments.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, and, of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
So right now, Jay, why don't we take a look at what's next on the schedule? We'll take a quick look at the Greenbrier Classic. Certainly a stellar field down there. Phil Mickelson, Kevin Kisner is going to be playing. And guess what? Vertical Groove Golf's John Daly also in the field. And another guy that, you know, made so much noise at the beginning of the year, really hasn't delivered, but I still think he's a talent that at some point is going to be reckoned with.
Bryson DeChambeau, you're right on, Bob. I think that it does take a little time to kind of assimilate yourself, to know what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do, where to stay, you know, where to go to dinner, all that stuff. I think Bryson may have a good second half of the season. Russell Henley, who continues to be on top of the leaderboard. We talked about Charles Howe III. How does he follow up that tremendous start off the injury this coming week at a wonderful place called Greenbrier? Drew Love, the son of Davis Love III, is playing in the event. Patrick Reed, the long hitter. Bubba Watson, he's been there for a week already, just relaxing with his family.
Yeah, and of course, we heard from Boo Weekly a few weeks back where he made a serious run up in Hartford, Connecticut. Good to see Boo in the mix. He brings so much color and excitement to any event. Always happy to see Boo Weekly playing very well. Also, I want to make mention, because certainly at a very impressive victory, a fellow by the name of Tommy Fleetwood won the French Open. He becomes the number one player on the European Tour. And guess what, Jay Bird? Tommy Fleetwood lives in Southport. What also is in Southport? Royal Birkdale. So Tommy Fleetwood is going to have a hot hand. He's going to have local course knowledge when we get to that Open Championship in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Bob, we talk a lot about the regular guys, the young players on the regular tour. These guys from Europe, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, something's going on over there. Congratulations to him now becoming the number one player on the European Tour. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, and of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll take a short break and be back with more golf talk right after this.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and the driver that Kenny Perry used to win the United States Senior Open. Bob, we talk a lot about junior golf, and we recently had an interview that you conducted with Roger Nick, the CEO of JuniorGolfHub.com, with a ton of great information for junior golfers.
Yeah, we really did, Jay, and ironically enough, happened to be at a place a couple of days ago and ran into one of the high school coaches in the area. He's been doing it a long time. Claude Boudet is his name, and he was not familiar with the Junior Golf Hub. And when I explained it a little bit, he really got excited. He said, boy, that is fantastic, because he admitted they have no avenue for junior players to go down that connects their performance in junior golf with the collegiate coaches that are looking to award scholarships. So he thought it was a great idea, and he definitely was going to look into it, and he was going to put his players into the Junior Golf Hub.
Here's Bob's chat with Roger Nick.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I think a lot of people are going to benefit from listening to what Roger Nick has to say. And if you're not familiar with that name, he has an outstanding golf performance center in Ridgefield, Connecticut. But he has something also that is going to be my main focus point. Let me welcome you in. Roger, thanks for joining The Grill Room.
Thanks, Bob, for having me. This is fantastic. Looking forward to being on the call here with you. And thanks for quite the introduction. I was a little embarrassed by that, but thanks so much.
All right. Junior Golf Hub is what I want to focus on. And let me explain a scenario that I'm all too familiar with. For years being in the golf business, would run into parents that have a teenager, and the teenager wants to play collegiate golf. I would talk to the teenager. The teenager really didn't have any sense of direction where he wanted to go. The parents, of course, were saying, well, we'd like him to go to University of Texas. They have a good golf program. We'd like him to go to North Carolina. They have a good golf program. Obviously, rose-colored glasses by the parents on their son or daughter's particular golf game. And colleges really, I always felt, didn't have any accurate barometer of trying to find talent that's in high school. Now, you create the Junior Golf Hub. Roger, tell us what that does.
Yeah, I mean, that's that is definitely the thing we hear most, Bob, is, you know, from traveling all over the country with junior golf tournaments and our players, we hear those questions all the time. We get asked those questions quite often. You know, what do I do? How do I what's the direction I go in to try to find the right college fit for me or my daughter or my son? So that's why we created the Junior Golf Hub. And, you know, I'll add to that. And the other reason we created it was for the college coaches, obviously. It's a community for, you know, the parent, the junior, and the college coach. But, you know, one of the things we hear a lot, you know, in addition to the questions that we get of where do I find the right program, is, you know, college coaches also, you know, having the issue of going, well, I can't find all the talent I'm looking for, and how do I actually, you know, start to measure potential and see potential in players. And one of the things that we're doing with the Junior Golf Hub is allowing them to actually follow and see the maturation process for a kid in his golf game and in his school or academics through the hub. You know, and I think that's going to be something that's going to be great for the coaches, is that now they can actually see this through our player development system and our score. But, you know, for the parent and for the junior, you know, the hub is a great tool for them to be able to go on, look and research schools, find out what might be one good, you know, first and foremost, good academic fit. And secondly, you know, instead of, as you mentioned, the rose-colored glasses is, instead of going, oh, yeah, I want to go to Texas and not knowing anything about what it might take to go to play at Texas or any other good golf program out there, or golf programs in general, because it's becoming so competitive, is seeing what the scores are. And now they can actually go on, you know, and see the golf program. You know, we have all the golf programs that are out there in the country, from Division One to NAIA to even the junior college programs, that they can actually see what the low guy is, what the fifth guy is, you know, what their program offers to them. You know, coaches will fill out and have filled out their programs, you know, what it takes to play at their school from a practice standpoint to, you know, scoring, what they need to do academically. So they can start to research, you know, within this tool, within the hub for them, and the parents can see this as well. So now everybody's connected. Everybody's getting the right information, the same information, versus, you know, you're at a tournament and you hear parents say it all the time, well, we're playing in this tournament because somebody else recommended this tournament, yet their kid wasn't really isn't skilled enough to be in that event, so he doesn't really play well in that event, and therefore may hurt his chances in college. So what the Junior Golf Hub is trying to do is helpfully, you know, hopefully get the right information out there consistently and have a consistent message to the parent, the player, and the coaches that everybody's getting the same information. Because there's, you know, just read a thing in the New York Times a few weeks ago about there's an information wasteland out there when it comes to junior golf. And we're really trying to filter that for the juniors and parents especially, so that they aren't blindsided by what they have heard might be the right solution for them, versus, you know, giving them the right solution and the right information. So
just to clarify for our listeners, Roger, the Junior Golf Hub is a online community that is accessible to the three factions that you mentioned, the young player, the parents, and the college coaches.
Correct. Absolutely. And it's a tool for either of those to use. Like you said, the parent can go on and start to, you know, plan for their child a little bit of, you know, a roadmap out, you know, hey, I like this school. Have you looked at this and mentioned it to their son or daughter and you know, have them go on and research it. But, you know, get some clarification. You know, we have, rolling out soon, within the next, 30 to 60 days, we're going to have more content on there about the whole process, the whole NCAA regulations, what's important, what they should be doing from freshman to senior year, maybe even taking a gap year. Is it important to take a gap year? Or, you know, all of that content will be coming live here soon. And we're really excited about it because I think this is going to be, something one of a kind, a tool for, those three fashions. So it's going to be really good. We're really, really excited about it.
Well, we're talking to Roger Nick, a PGA professional, also has his Golf Performance Center in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Before we let you go, this is not a brand new experiment for you. As I understand it, you've sent well over 100 young players onto their collegiate careers. That's got to be very rewarding.
Oh, it's absolutely the best feeling in the world when we know that we've helped our junior help them reach a goal of theirs is to go on to play at the next level. And we've had great success. I mean, the nice thing is our system works. In our Golf Performance Center, we have our player development system, and it works. Having been doing this for 20 plus years. The nice thing is for us is that these kids go on to good schools, and some, from Harvard to Duke to, Arizona to, Davidson, Elon, different schools, 70, over 80 schools represented, with those 100 kids going, 100 plus kids going to school. So it's been phenomenal experience for me and a journey for me that, it's a passion, so I love doing it, and I love helping these kids reach their goals.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, Roger. Before I let you go, how can one find the Junior Golf Hub online?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to www.juniorgolfhub.com. Check it out. It's free access. Try it out. We'll love to have you there. Coaches would love to see the players and parents there. And vice versa. I'm sure that the parents and players would love to see the coaches there. So jump on the community. We'd love to have you.
Bob, a lot of good information from Roger Nick. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how my experience, I got to do the math, 31 years ago, it was quite different. There are many more opportunities now at all different levels of college to earn a scholarship. And I can't say enough to the junior girls out there, keep with it, because there are a lot of really good opportunities.
Yeah, it really is important, and that's why we opted to put it back in the program, especially this time of year. High schools are out. Players are going to be going into, their junior year or maybe their senior year. And when you're talking about a golf scholarship, you're really helping out a family, a mom and dad that want their child, whether it be their son or daughter, to go to a college. But it's an expensive proposition nowadays. And if their ability to play this wonderful world of golf is going to get them scholarship dollars, we feel very strongly about it and hope that the listeners of the Grill Room will tell their friends to tell their friends, anybody that has a junior golfer in the family, linking up with the Junior Golf Hub, certainly the way to go.
Well, you're living proof you can play this game for your whole life. but it's the truth. And, the difference is, a lot of these kids getting those scholarships are not expecting to turn pro or want to be a golf professional. And I think that's another major change. And as we both know, you go out for any Wednesday Pro-Am on the tour or any city in America where there's a pro-am or a business function that golf's involved, it's very important to just at least feel comfortable. And a great way to do it is through Junior Golf. So wonderful information. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. It's heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, and of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, Bob and I will have some thoughts on the USGA and the recent opens that they've conducted.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Welcome back into the Grow Room. I'm Bob. He's Jay. Very little time remaining, Jay, but I think it's worth our time to just talk a little bit about what has transpired in the two Open Championships. The United States Open, 16 under par wins. The Senior Open now, 16 under par wins. There's a segment, I believe, of loyal golf fans that, you know, want to see the U.S. Open and the Senior Open perhaps a little sterner test. What, where do you weigh in on that, Jay?
You and I are alike in that group. We're in that segment, and I think there are a lot of us who have sat back and gone, what the heck just happened? I mean, there were 31 guys under par at the U.S. Open. There were 26 under par at the U.S. Senior Open. The scoring records, the total under par. I hope it's just an anomaly. I've got to believe that when you look at the venues coming up, especially on the U.S. Open. But, you know, I think to a certain extent, and maybe it's because we're so locked into the game that we love so much that, you know, we don't really get that upset about it. I'm surprised more people aren't talking about it.
Well, Jay, I can say this much. We'll get a real look in the window of the USGA's thinking when the peg goes in the ground for next year's U.S. Open at Shinnecock. Because if the golf course is presented properly and the normal amount of wind blows, and ironically enough, there's been 12 rounds there, three U.S. Opens beginning in 86 and 95 and 04, 11 of those 12 days, it was dead calm, and you can't get a dead calm day at Shinnecock. So I'm taking the position next year we're going to have the normal amount of wind. We'll see how the USGA sets it up. And if it's proper, as far as I'm concerned, 3-4 under par certainly could very well be a winning score.
Bob, I think you're exactly right. It's going to be a great barometer to see where we're at. If these guys go out and tear up Shinnecock Hills, which I don't think they will, one of my great regrets is the day I was supposed to play there got rained out, and that just still crushes me, but I'll play it someday. It's going to be a stern test for next year's U.S. Open.
And it's going to be a magnificent setting. It shows up so well on television. And all I remember back in 1986, after 54 holes, we had 11 guys within one shot of the lead. Greg Norman was in front by one shot, but 11 guys at his heels. And Shinnecock, not a favorite place of Jack Nicklaus, 1986 also. His tee shot on number 10, they alternated teeing off on 1 and 10, a very difficult, demanding par 4. He drove it into the high grass, lost his golf ball, the only golf ball Jack Nicklaus ever lost in a major championship.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.